Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Laurie, it's me, Jackie.
Jacqueline.
You're in a good mood because you're going to your home club.
Yay! Yeah, I mean, this is I picked this up in February, I think. Nice little surprise gig. And I'm going to do KRON. I'm going to do the afternoon show or the noon show.
Wait, you're not going to hang out with Korn, the band Korn, which is what I thought it was at one point.
Oh, no, I'm not. And so they like want a detailed list of things I want to talk about. And I think I'm blaming Sam Morrell because he's torched so many local news stations. But it's funny, but like, yeah, now I think they're all paranoid. What are you going to say? But I'm psyched. Yeah. Because, you know, it's, you know, when it's like your home, TV station,
yeah.
You know,
Yeah,
you're like, oh my God, KRON, that's amazing.
Right, I know these guys. They're unmoved
from
by
my
me.
Childhood. Yes.
Oh, right. Well, no, I don't have that. I don't have that. I have.
Well, not the anchors, but the station. Right. Since I remember being alive, KRON has always been in my life as an American who lives in the Bay Area.
Right. I thought you meant. I thought you meant something like that you had done it so many times. Because whenever I would go back to Minneapolis and do KQ, the stakes were low, is what I'm telling you. I was like, it's fine. That guy finally retired. And every time I was on that radio show for them over the last 20 odd years, he would ask me about something I said 20 years earlier, 15, it was like, remember you'd always talked about the same thing. And I was like, there has to be, isn't anything happened? No. All right.
Yeah. That's
enough.
Like when people go, what was it like writing for Tough Crowd? Well, I don't know. I mean, half the people on it are no longer with us. First of all, is there anything else in this millennium we could talk about?
Oh, right. It's true. Several of those people are dead. I am so sorry. I went to a funeral day before yesterday. I went on Saturday, full Catholic, Irish Catholic mass.
Oh.
I was like, and they offered communion, and the priest, Father Ken.
Ken? It's always weird when a father or like a nun's name, it's like, where did you come from? Just very quickly, we had an art teacher named Sister Paula. And I was like, what? She sounds like a gang leader. But she's cool. But tell me about Father Ken.
Father Ken, easily in his 60s. And hip.
Jackie, hip. So are we almost.
Right, but he was just like, fuck? Right, but I mean, for Father Ken to be quite so, and yes, and much like ourselves, trying to connect with the Ute.
And God.
So my friend Sean died, and her mom died 4 days later.
Oh my
and
God.
She had been
this
taking
like
care
Carrie
of her
Fisher
mother.
And Debbie Fisher. I mean, Debbie Reynolds. Holy shit.
Her mom was 93 and Sean was 69.
Oh no.
Yeah. And her mom, Pat Shea, P-A-T-T, wrote on Archie Bunker's Place. She was one of the first women comedy writers, sitcom writers in the 70s. Yeah. And Sean was was like not a showrunner. I forget exactly. It was some muckety muck on The Price is Right for 20 years until a little bit into Drew Carey's reign.
And at 67, she passed?
69, yeah.
69? From what?
Just
you know?
Untreated, chronic. She was just kind of not feeling. It reminds me of when Nancy, my stepmom, died. She was just kind of chronically ill, but didn't really look into it. And then would go to the doctor, and the doctor would be like, well, I don't know what it is. And then fell over dead. Very sad.
Fuck. Oh, my gosh. What an incredible mother-daughter team.
Right? Right, they were
honestly
very
before my mother got COVID. I'm like, am I going to be 70 years old living with a 97-year-old.
We're not talking about this. We're not. This is actually not a point of discussion. Thank you very much. I'm not. I hate ultimatums, but we're TikTok here. It's we're getting close.
What do you mean?
My mother-in-law.
Oh, so right. Oh, you don't want to even go into that territory.
Yeah, I can't.
You don't
want that territory. No, I can't. To discuss that, I will either burst into tears or just have Tourette's.
I had that very writing in this very notebook 4 years ago, or a different notebook on this very couch. That same, like, what the fuck? What if this never ends?
Right. Feels finite, my friends, and it doesn't mean I don't love everybody. I got here's a comedy related topic. Well, first of all,
okay.
So I did Largo last week. I think I was doing it the night that it, yeah, I think I did it the Wednesday and I hadn't done right. it when we right. recorded. So it was amazing. And right. One of the younger comics who was on the show, you know, there's a lot of up and coming young comics, and this woman, Laura Peek, I believe she's been a comic of the week.
Yeah, she's in our chat, Jackie.
Laura Peek's in our chat?
Yeah, she doesn't weigh in a ton, but yeah, okay. She's there, popping her in and out.
One of the greatest jokes, and I'm just going to tell you the setup of it because it's kind of meta, which is a guy came up to her after the show and said that she was his favorite female comedian. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, you don't have to say female. And the punchline after that, and the two punchlines after that, you got to go find yourself some Laura Peek, is what I'm telling you, you guys. Because it's fucking outstanding.
Jackie, you can't yeah. type it in the little fucking chat so I can enjoy it right now. You have to leave me in the same position as the audience, for God's sakes.
The guy.
Okay.
So.
Well, you can tell us during the break, I guess. You're going to type it?
Right. I'm just going to type it. The guy said.
It's exciting.
We might need to type this part up, Kyle. That's funny. That's funny. Hilarious and true.
And then she said that.
That's a great tag.
That's great.
So yeah. There you go. So those are that. And then Ellen Love Harold, it. Is it, I believe, Harold? She hosted.
Yeah.
And she had a premise about her dad, mm-hmm. who I guess was a bit of a cokehead and a bit of a mess. Mm-hmm. And she was like, he was a good dad. He would always pick us up and it was just the beginning of the joke, so I'm going to tell it. But her name is Ellen Harold. Find her, book her, throw her some money. But she said he would pick us up from school. I mean, he would do it without his shirt on, and we didn't really know what he did for a living, but whatever it was, he was obviously skins.
I like
so
it.
Those are my two favorite jokes that I've heard this week. And the other thing that happened was this very day, which is, I believe, a Monday, a club owner texted me to ask right. me if he should book a guy. Guess what? If you are asking, no.
Well, because the guy is
I've typed the club guy and I've typed the comic guy.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And I was like, I'm not here to not get somebody work. How about that? Why don't you realize that that's going to be a lot of work and that's up to you.
Huh? Yeah. I don't know what to say about that.
Nothing.
I'm all for getting women work now. Oh, Jackie. So last week was kind of crazy. So in New York, right? Spot. And then I think we did a podcast from when I was in New York, right? And then Tuesday, I did Sherry's show. I did a set on Sherry.
Right. I really like that jacket. Nice work.
Thank you. I got it at Nordstrom Rack at Union Square before my shows at the Stand the night before. I got 7:30 pickup. Took a car. It would have been way faster to take the subway, but when someone offers you a car in New York City, I don't care if you're only going to block, you take it.
Right.
You just take it.
Yeah, take the car.
And plus, you know, I had a bunch of options, you know, outfit options. So I had like a suitcase full of stuff. So yeah, I was put into the Joan Rivers room. They have different rooms named after different female comics.
Oh.
And Joan's room has a lot of index cards of her jokes, you know,
oh,
that
wow.
she probably bequeathed, or, you know, somebody, you know, gave, I guess Melissa
or
gave.
Somebody stole them.
Yeah.
That'd be really rude.
Yeah.
Just go to the card catalog, grab a handful. And all of a sudden she's like, where are the D's?
Where are the dick jokes? They're gone. So, and then, you know, a lot of costume jewelry. I'm assuming it's some of her stuff that she sold on QVC or whatever. And then the set was really fun. They're just like super professional, really well run. You know, they want upbeat, you know, that's fine. I got some upbeat jokes. I don't, you know, we didn't get too dark or anything. You kind of just tell it to Sherry, and then the audience is behind the camera. So, you know, it's not exactly like a stand-up set, but it was really
panel.
Fun.
It was I saw that it was panel stand-up. Nice work.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So she makes it really easy, and she's great. And, she's a great laugher, and just really, really well done show. She has a lot to memorize. She has like a 20-minute monologue up top.
Oh, wow.
Which is part of, it's on cue cards, but you can't, it's not like jokes, it's like stories. So you have to put your personality
into it. And it's done
it.
Live?
Yeah. Now, she did taped two shows on Wednesday. So she had a second one. So she had like 40 minutes of monologue to do on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Plus whatever she had to do with various guests. George right. Lopez and his daughter were on right before me, and they like played a golf game or something like okay. that. Lopez's hair is like crazy right now. It looks really okay. good.
Oh, good.
And he wished me good luck, and I said, nice to meet you. We, you know, exchanged pleasantries, and then pretty good set. And then I clipped out the one joke, the Gen X, about Gen X men.
Oh, right. I saw that.
It has over 500,000 angry views.
Excellent.
Half a million
will do.
I had to turn off comments because so many men were coming in furious, taking it serious, and it
older
was just depressing.
Men. Older men.
Yes.
Feeling like you were talking about themselves.
Exactly. Many defending themselves as if I had said their first name and last name in the setup.
And that you wanted to date them. All yes. of that, and you're like, you are mistaking me for someone who actually wanted to date you, because I don't.
And also, like, they take things, it's like, hey, I'm a comedian, these are jokes I tell in a nightclub, I'm actually not talking to you or about you, and I don't know you, like right. they take shit so personally. But anyway, so that was sort of, that was fun for a little bit, and then it got just like ponderous because
it's just exhausting because it's the same comment.
It is
hundreds
the same
of
comment,
times. Yeah.
Yes, by different guys, yes. like trying coming at you, but it's the same Hydra. It's the same monster,
right?
You
and know? They're not just checking anybody else's comments.
No,
they're
right.
just going on and going, well, what do you know about?
And then, yeah. Then when you reply, then they're apparently shocked that anyone replies. And then there's like 18 more comments from
right.
that reply because
right.
they're like, oh, she knows my name. Right. So that was fun and draining
sure.
2 days. And then then I came back on Tuesday. Oh, I went, I did the her show Tuesday morning and flew back on Tuesday evening.
Oh, wow.
So Tuesday was a long day.
That's a long
day. And then, I think Wednesday or Thursday, I guess Thursday. No, Friday was my first paid set as a paid regular, the Comedy Store.
That's it.
So I was in the OR in the original room. That's the black room. I always think of them as the black room and the red room, but they're the OR in the main room. And
the original room, is that the one in the middle? What's
yes.
the one with the high, that's the red room?
The red room is the main room.
And that's with the higher stage.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, right.
Got it.
Yeah. And so the OR has the pianist. You have a little musical accompaniment. It's fun. And Moshe brought me up.
Moshe Kasher?
With way too much of an intro. Someone just say, our next comic is whatever.
Just, but was like, he psyched for you? Or was he just a happy?
Yeah. But it was just like, no,
I love you. You're actually
take it down a couple.
It's a lot.
Can I,
please? You're not. Please don't introduce me as Jesus.
Yeah. So yeah, it was pretty cool. Saw Sharon Mahoney. She was hanging out, and that was fun. And then
did you get to park in the back?
I got to park. Now, Jackie, I think I have by far the oldest car in the lot. It's a 2009 Corolla, as you know. A lot of the people that park in the lot are, you know, making Lexus money. And
well, the thing is you were making Lexus money and absolutely never gave a shit.
I don't spend it on cars.
No, cars are not your jam.
No.
I have been trying to get you to get a new car since 2009. We didn't have a podcast. No, we
didn't. We didn't know each other. 16.
That's right. We didn't know
maybe
each other.
Maybe once. Yeah. But yeah. Well, if I had been making Lexus money, I wouldn't have the savings I'm living off of right now. So I'm glad I saved whatever Lexus money I have, because I'm plundering it right now as I inch along month by month, praying. As I got another fallout. I'm doing the Laughing Tap in June, right after the, I'm June 5th and 6th, I'm in Portland. I'm doing Helium on the 5th. The 6th, I'm doing Livewire. Then I fly from there to Milwaukee and do the 7th and 8th at the Tap.
All right. Fun. That's in
June,
right?
You seem angry. What? Yeah.
No, that's literally just... thinking about me, as per usual. So sorry.
Yes, I know. I saw your eyes go out.
Well, that's only because...
I do know you.
Right? It's only because I am from there. And right. So the 7th and 8th, you're going to be in... June 7th and 8th, you're going to be in Milwaukee.
Yes.
I, too, will be in Milwaukee.
No! Are you serious? Are you doing that series?
I'm doing the Mary Mac run. The wild-ass wander around Wisconsin run. So, yeah, we'll do some content. Let's do some Patreon content and,
that's a good idea.
And some people can hang. That's awesome.
Yes. And then I sent my ongoing, you know, attempt to woo Esty at the cellar.
Oh,
so I sent her my Sherry set and she's like, I just want to make, you know, like she's got to see me in person. That's the bottom line.
She wants you to do a drop in at the cellar.
So when I'm in Vermont, I'm booking it with a couple nights in New York. So on the Sunday after Vermont, I'm flying home pretty early and I'm going to drop into the brunch show at the cellar on Sunday.
I did that one. It was actually quite fun.
I'm sure it is.
Completely sold out, which I could not have been more surprised.
Holy
but it was
shit.
Great.
They are just making
yeah,
so
they're printing money. They're printing money.
Money
over there. It's great.
Fuck.
And the
it's
food
incredible.
Is really good.
Oh yeah.
The food.
I mean,
the food was so good.
The tabbouleh. I still have been searching.
No,
for
no, they have bagels and it was just.
Oh, you're talking the brunch thing.
Yeah,
I'm talking
brunch
upstairs
food.
From the Olive Tree. The tabbouleh has been my favorite since I ever tasted it. And I keep trying other tabbouleys all over the place and they don't match what I've tasted at the Olive Tree. So
well, live it up.
I'm hoping to be able to get half price off that, Jackie, one day again. I remember I had worked the cellar a long time ago. And then when I sat down a couple of years ago and I was hanging out with some comics and I got charged full price for a meal, I was like, this fucking business. So if I can go back to my half price ways.
Well,
nice.
And the brunch food is free. The food is free for brunch.
Okay.
So get yourself some tabbouleh to go.
Yes, I will.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did Bar Lubitz and it Lubitsch. Was Lubitsch.
I think we've had this conversation.
Yep, because I don't care because I call it Bar Lube. And I don't know. I can't face it. Whatever it is, I show up and...
Yes.
There's never enough lighting and there's never anywhere.
Yeah.
The seating for comics is uneven. And but
yeah.
It was so lightly attended because of Coachella. I think.
Oh, that's what I heard. Yeah, I heard
yeah,
I heard
it
that was
awesome.
A big problem this year.
And I'm not even kidding. Ellen Harold And I think 3/4 of the audience of probably 20 people, I think, were there. Yeah. Maybe 15. It was light. They were all 27. Weirdly, 27. Yes.
Hmm. And did you guess their ages again?
I was just talking to Ellen before my set, and I was talking about, because everybody looked 27. And yeah. I said that, and she goes, I'm 27. And I said, uh-huh. And then I told her about how I've met like 3 or 4 27-year-olds in the last year who've told me they're going through trauma therapy. And at first I was judgmental because they all have such good dental. And and then I realized that 30 years ago, the 24-hour news cycle was invented. And then I remembered why they all have trauma therapy, because you can't fix anything in Indonesia when you're 4. But you keep seeing the thing about tsunamis and earthquakes and Suharto and Sukarno, who neither of which existed at that time. But the
Jackie, that's a deep cut into
the history.
Fascism, yes.
Right.
Politics.
Right, but the show was actually, the set was actually super fun. Mm-hmm. And so that was great. And then I had a weird Zoom meeting with a woman in Nashville who's written a script and wants me to act in it, where I would play a flat earther. And I said, I am 112% on board.
Well cast.
Typecasting, as I said to her. That's why we're running out of water. Okay. Because it's all draining off the edges of the earth.
Yeah.
And then I did a crow show. Have you ever done the upstairs crow?
Yes, I have. I had to tell a showbiz story and I had to swear everyone to secrecy because it was very
it's hard to swear 45 people to secrecy.
Yeah. Well, they haven't said anything.
It was me. It was a great lineup. Aparna went after me, and
what was what was the show?
The premise was, it might get a little dark. That was the name of it.
Nice.
And cool. Aparna told a joke about chocolate, and then she said, "It might get a little dark." So I giggled at that particular. She threw it out. I liked it. And then I did Good Heroin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And that was super fun, as per, hosted by Rob Hayes, who is on this week's
H-A-Z-E.
Yeah,
about what?
Ralph
Lauren.
Ralph Lauren. But he says it's pronounced Ralph Lauren. But all that his original name was Ralph Lipschitz. And if my last name was Lipschitz, I would change it to anything, including Lauren or Loren. Yeah. And he told me about the history of Ralph Lauren, because that was his dorkdom, was that fashion. And the first big break that Ralph Lauren got, I guess, was the Annie Hall tie. Diane Keaton was wearing a tie,
and it was a
Ralph Lauren. It was a polo tie.
Do you remember when she was nominated for Best Actress? We were little at this point, you and I.
I just watched Kyle sigh into the microphone.
It was in the direction of Annie
I was like,
Hall,
that's my
least.
Job to appear. I'm not saying it. anyway, ask me your question again, Lori. I'm sorry.
At the Oscars, I remember this because they put the scene for her. She was nominated for Best Actress. The scene was the lobster scene where she and Woody Allen are laughing in the kitchen about the lobster.
Right.
And I remember
live,
just going,
dead lobster, yeah.
She's laughing. How is that acting? I was really angry.
Right. They didn't give her even a couple of lines. Yeah.
I was angry at Woody Allen for the wrong reasons, but it was a right feeling. I did the show for Danny Levy in Agoura Hills.
Okay.
And it's at a winery, and I guess they do it once a month. And it's a beautiful, it's a couple miles off the freeway, and then all of a sudden you're like in the backwoods of
Malibu.
But
it's still Agoura Hills?
It's gorgeous, yes.
Okay. Yes. Is it off of Canaan? Is it towards the ocean?
There's peacocks all over the place. The peacocks were cawing or whatever the noise is called that they make during
irritant.
The show.
Yes.
And I almost backed into a peacock and it didn't even like move. It was more
blink.
Like,
it was like,
it didn't
come
blink.
And get
it
me.
Was like, yeah, you break, not me. I'm like, all right. But you're lucky I saw you. But it was funny because you were talking about the lighting because the show has a blue spotlight.
Oh, weird.
So, it is weird, but it was fun to make fun of. But yeah. It was like, yeah. And then let's see. Today I have a huge agave that is dead. It's dying. So it's sprouted like 30 feet high and has little puppies all over it. You know, little pup agaves. Yeah. And it's starting to fall over like a giant pineapple starting to tip over the base. So I've been sawing and cutting. And again, back in the old Lexus money days, I would have hired a gardener
a
to do this.
To come
but
in.
Not now. I'm sawing mm-hmm. myself out there. And I'm afraid of blades. So everything is really dull because I don't like sharp blades. So it's like fucking taking forever to get this stuff. Down,
you know that a sharp
blade.
I'm just gonna. You're familiar with the idea that a sharp blade will work correctly the first time and is safer to work with. You have you been told that?
Here's the thing. You're sawing and you have this momentum, and then it breaks through, and that saw goes down into your leg. If it's a dull saw,
are you sawing using
much.
Your leg as the table? Please don't
well,
do that.
You know.
Dull blade or not,
point.
That's going to hurt. I have been out in the garden myself. Yes.
Yes. No, I did put together a sawhorse. I told you this, right?
I don't think so. But
I left a terrible review because the directions were horrible. And that's all the reviews were how horrible the directions were. You had to fucking figure it out yourself, this sawhorse. But it's pretty good once you get it going. It's like, oh, okay.
Oh, good.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Well, I bought bugs for the garden. Because
okay.
we have two bug problems at this juncture because of how much rain there's been. We have
ooh,
earwigs
right.
and we have snails.
Ooh.
We have snails and we have earwigs. Those are two of the grossest bugs in the world.
Why don't I have snails?
I don't know, but you want snails?
Is it cause, no, but is it because of the kind of vegetables you're growing? And I don't know what an earwig is.
An earwig looks like a gigantic ant with pinchers. It's really disturbing. And and they're in the house, which means that they might be in the wood, which means that they might actually be termites. I don't really know what a termite looks like, and I don't want to look it up because we'd all have to relocate if it were termites, and I don't know where we'd go.
Jackie, I had to do that last year.
Was it last year?
Remember that I had to tent the house?
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh, expensive.
Oh, it is expensive. That might be a termite. What the fuck? That's a king termite?
Yeah.
That'd be a drag. We should probably have somebody come.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, but we got the rest of the, I got the garden in. I bought a couple new, cucumber plants. And, and I saw that either aphids or something were eating my eggplant plant. So I went and bought, this is a great story, some ladybugs, and it was free ladybug weekend. So they gave me an extra thing of ladybugs. And
nice.
So we get a lot of ladybugs now, so that most of them fly away, but they fly away after eating all of the aphids in your, probably a month ago, I bought praying mantises. And I've not seen any praying mantises. So either they all died or they didn't like my backyard. They went to somebody else's backyard.
Why did you buy the praying mantises?
Because they will eat, not only will they eat aphids, I think they'll eat snails. Andy doesn't think so. But I think they'll eat anything. I've heard that they will eat, like, even those June bugs, those giant.
You know what will eat snails? The French.
I'm salut, je m'appelle Jackie. si j'étais un garçon, j'aurais un zizi. Yes?
a couple French people at your DIY?
I'm going to go to Armstrong Garden Center, see if they're selling the French. I am, let's see. And then I bought a couple of buckets of worms, and I put worms in the dirt as well.
Mm. Oh, so, yourself with your own hands?
A shaking motion. And then I threw extra dirt on top of the worms, because that's what worms like. Worms like a little dirt on top of them.
Sure.
They don't want to be up and about.
Right.
And now Kyle is yawning. He's not wrong.
We don't force people to listen to this podcast. They do this of their own volition. And honestly, I wish they'd stop so we could stop.
Or just send us Lexus money and then we'll definitely stop.
Yeah.
So Beth Stelling was at the Good Heroine, and she was super funny.
Yeah.
She had a great set. She went up after me.
She had some clip I just saw with, I think, Mo Welch on a podcast about how women, what they're doing to, you know, not age. It's all the same stuff. And right. So everyone's starting to look alike. And she's like, can we just do pencils down and everyone just stop whatever they're doing? I thought that was really funny.
Oh, that's great. It's I was talking to her. I was like, did you recommend me for an animated series? And she goes, yeah, Strange Planet. And I go, oh, thank you so much. And she goes, yeah,
nice.
Wherever I am, I'll recommend you. And I was like,
oh, nice.
Well, then you are part of the team that I appreciate, quite honestly. Because I love that webcomic, too, that Strange Planet. Mm-hmm. Someone said that he said something mean once and that we shouldn't listen to him. I don't believe you, because he's such a nice guy.
Who's he?
Maybe the guy who does the webcomic.
He said something mean about us?
About somebody. And thus there was trouble. But
I see.
Someone was mad. And then I was like, but I'm not. And as I was explaining to somebody, I did a show 2 weeks ago at the Improv. Mm-hmm. And Jeff Ross was on the bill. Mm-hmm. And I was on a flyer with Jeff Ross. And I don't want to be on a flyer with Jeff Ross. That's not my ideal. And someone was like, should you be taking work? And I was like, oh, I should definitely be taking work.
Do not come after women taking work, especially in the stand-up scene. Yeah. Never, ever, ever.
Yeah, because it's not my job to fix men again.
No.
And consistently and forever.
The audience will be grateful to have your voice, because there will be some people going, is that the guy? You know what I mean?
Well, they will be great. That's true. Yeah. That's an excellent point. Hey, let's take a quick break, if that's cool.
Okay.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
And then let's talk about that comic of the week, Lori. What do you got?
Oh, yes. So I just worked with her this week. Oh, did you know there's a comedy club called the Hollywood Comedy? It's on Melrose. It's way down on Melrose, like to the east of the Improv. And it's kind of like a little hole in the wall, but it's really cute.
Oh, good.
And so she had a show. I did. She put me on her show and she filled the room, and she's very funny. And her name's Ai Yoshihara. AI, first name, Yoshihara, second name. And she's funny, and she has some really funny TikToks or Instagrams as well.
Cool.
So I would check her out if I were you.
Nice.
Yeah. And so, she's really good. And I've only met her, I guess, in the last 6 months, I think, really.
And what's her handle
it
on
is
the
AI
Instagram
underscore
such?
Comedian.
Hold
so
on.
It's at AI underscore and then comedian.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. She got bits on it, and they're
like
real funny.
Artificial intelligence, like AI?
I went and looked it up because I had that same thought, and there they were because she's a professional. No, she knows what knows what's up.
Right, it's not yeah, a hobby. Jackie. Not a hobby. Come
here. She's aware, Jackie. She's aware. But yes, her first name is spelled AI.
Yeah. Grammication, yeah. Just checking in. I just well, and now it'll be easier for people to find it because I've come forward. I ask the questions so that people don't have to. That's what the Dork Forest is entirely about. Because I mix up Polo and Lacoste. Is there's nothing wrong. I'm
wait. Polo is a sport, and Lacoste is a.
They're both fashion. One's Ralph Lauren, and the other one is Izod Lacoste.
Okay.
Lacoste.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And I can't pronounce any four of those words, so we all win. And okay, you know what's happening this week? I believe it's this week. Tammy Pescatelli's coming to town.
Oh yeah,
former comic of the week. We're gonna have breakfast on the Friday.
I would like to hear. I would because her WTF was really fun, and she had a very narrow miss, very very close call with Vince Champ. Which was really creepy to hear about. You know?
I bet. Yeah. Did you have to share a condo with him?
I think so. He was also, you know, like specialized in raping college girls. So I don't think.
No, he
know,
didn't.
Because she was known in his group. That was his target.
Right. He wasn't. He wasn't doing someone who wasn't a victim. Yeah. He was searching.
Somebody that wouldn't know him and wouldn't, you know, be able to identify him and stuff anyway. But but she was talking about, she, you know, went off to Pennsylvania to raise her kids. And she's also, there's a lot of us that are kind of close to done with the child rearing part. Like we're all, and Zarna Garg, I just saw, had a reel about her kids. One of them's out and one of them's almost out. Of the house, you know, Felicia, of course, both of her boys are out. And so there's a lot of us that are about to be re-unleashed on the scene.
Do you want to talk to Byron Allen?
Do I want to talk to Byron Allen?
It's about being released? Unleashed?
Wow.
I was
no, Jackie,
just
I don't.
No, can't possibly.
Yeah, I'm sorry that happens. yeah, so I don't know. It's just interesting. I feel like a bunch of female comics had kids in the 2005 to 2007 time frame, a lot of us. And it's, you know.
You have compatriots. Yes, you do. And now you're going to have competition. So.
Oh, Jackie, it never ends. But you know what? People keep putting out more clubs. They are, like, the amount of clubs is increasing, which is really. Interesting. I don't know. Is it sustainable? I guess we'll know in 10 years. But
all I know is I'm reteaching myself how to book myself. And the good news is because I booked myself in some real rural stuff. It's all in the works. Some vaguely.
Yeah.
South Dakota, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Illinois. Yeah. I'm just booking stuff because. Nobody else is. So I'm just figuring out. And I might be able to get rid of some of these CDs and DVDs. I might bring
Holy
them on the road
shit.
With me because people got you CDs might. And DVDs in the middle of Nebraska. People got DVD players, CD players.
Jackie, bring a mixtape. I mean, bring it all.
I'm going to bring a Frenchman. I'm going to bring up just a Frenchman to say words for me.
To eat snails.
And eat snails.
Well, you know, I wonder why is it right now with PA, personal appearance agents, like if you aren't making $10,000 a week, they're not interested, right?
Right.
Which I guess I can understand for the upper echelons, but aren't there mid-range people that would, you know, take those of us who are making less than $10,000 a week, but we're making still money, it's still worthwhile, mm-hmm. worth your time if you can, you know, get us work. I don't know. Why is it all or nothing with these PA people?
Well, Here's a guy that you should avoid.
Okay. I'm awake.
Oh, I have Kyle's attention, you guys. There you go.
Don't know him.
Well, that's been then I've come in time. Because I got other friends who are repped by that dude, and it's not working out. There's personality issues, and there's also interactive issues where it's the guy's been in the business for 30 years, and nobody likes working with him very much. So, note to self, sister. I'm just filling stuff in.
We're new people.
Right.
We're a new PA agent. There's a bajillion comics and there's new comedy clubs. Why is there just like the same three people that have been in the business for 30 years booking select acts and not others, you know? There's room for growth for somebody who wants it.
It's true. But I don't know how to I've never known how to really sort of, all I've known how to do is book, like I could, and I've only had a really active PA agent for the last 5 or 6 years, maybe 7. And so it's not that for the previous 30 years or 20 odd years that I was working the road hardcore, I did it myself.
Yeah.
And though for many of those years, I also had a day job, and I don't want to have a day job anymore. It sounds depressing, but I also don't want to be above having a day job. And just think, if I can grind it out, if I can get it done and do it right, I can get rid of these CDs and DVDs that are in my closet or that are in my, my garage. That'd be great. So,
I mean, I think a lot of people are fantasizing about what their day job would be. What after, if you've been a comic for 30 plus years, how are you going to fit back into the box that a day job?
Well,
you know,
it's that or live outdoors. And so I think I'd probably organize my ego around that.
Somebody posted that they like to work in the post office, and I'm like, yeah. You know, a nice
I got a buddy who temped at the post office, and he said the numbers actually almost drove him mad. Because one of the initial jobs, like the entry level jobs, is sorting mail by zip code into different numbered slots. So it's all numbers all day and different numbers. And he said that that made his brain fry. He couldn't sustain it.
Sure. I imagine a lot of it's being sorted differently now because people are printing their postage before they send it.
Right. And there's a lot of recognition. There's a lot of recognition software too, which is something. Very possible.
It's weird that I'm just watching writers on Twitter. People just, who are like, oh, show business is not restarting like we thought it would. You know, like you and I and anyone that can work the road has a way to make some kind of living now.
Right.
That a lot of these other people don't have. And even though it's like very unstable and you can't count on anything, it's something.
Right.
It's so weird that stand-up comedy is more stable.
Right. A friend of mine got a couple of rewrite jobs for Nickelodeon.
Oh, nice.
So...
Oh, yay!
Re-upped their insurance. So that's good.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. I saw that person a couple nights ago at Akbar. But it's just weird to go. I wonder what kind of little government job I could do just to get some health insurance, just to keep it until I hit 65.
Right?
Then we can get Medicare. And then it's smooth sailing from then till death, Jackie.
Did you see Civil War? See the new Civil War movie?
I did not.
Did you?
It's quite loud, yes.
Oh my God, I heard it was loud.
I banged that ceiling and tried to, and they would not
on purpose.
Acquiesce.
Like it's louder than normal action.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I don't know. The metaphor seemed like you might
bang the ceiling.
I was trying to skate past it. Glad you found it.
I heard it was that it was chilling and that it was actually effectively.
It's very interesting. Sort of visually, I think it does a beautiful job kind really of showing, like, okay, I could see this looking like this in a way that, like, is pretty unsettling. It's shockingly apolitical on the whole, but there is some real pulse pounding stuff. And I will say that the movie should be called War Photography is an Insane Job, but that doesn't have quite the same sexy conversation about it, because that's what the movie's actually about, is that war photographers are psychos. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
Well, should I buy a
yes.
gun?
Every person who doesn't like fascists should buy guns and shoot fascists.
Okay.
I'm the one who's going to have to cut that out.
I have to say, it was Brian Regan does this joke about how there's supposedly a gun for every single person in this country. And then he pauses and he goes, which makes me think it's must have two. Because I don't have one. it's so funny whenever he talks about anything, and he's not even being political. He's just literally just talking about something that's out in the world. It's a thing that everyone is addressing. And they tighten up on him anyway, and then they feel better. The release is even greater. So he loves it so. Hey, let's take another break real quick.
The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom.
Diablo 4.
Final Fantasy 16.
Street Fighter 6.
Baldur's Gate 3.
Starfield.
Spider-Man 2.
Master Detective Archives Rain Code for Nintendo Switch? No, is that just me?
It's a huge time for video games.
You need somebody to tell you what's good, what's not so good, and what's amazing.
I'm Jason Schreier.
I'm Maddie Myers.
And I'm Kirk Hamilton. We're the hosts of Triple Click, a video game podcast for anyone who likes games.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Yeah. So,
well, yeah, listen, guys. We're both. It's one of those nights. I am at the Punchline tonight through Saturday. Send your friends. Send any man who's angry at me, send them in. I will convert them one by one into Lori Kilmartin fans.
They can buy tickets online. They can buy tickets at the door. They can buy merch. Tickets. You bringing merch?
I'm bringing my eye shades. Yes.
Yep. Nice. Yeah. Eye masks. And yeah. Nice.
Excited for that. I have like 4 full days there. It's not like those little tiny weeks. I wish it started on Tuesday, but I will have a full Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday there in San Francisco, you know, in our favorite little hotel.
Stay.
I don't want to announce which hotel I'm staying in, but is it that same hotel we love? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I've never, it's not my home club. So you've stayed at it a lot. Are you bringing your son?
I am not. No.
No. He's got school, right?
School. He's enrolled in school, as all minor children are, Jackie.
Yeah, but sometimes you'd pull him out. If he got to see a grave.
For a game? Come on.
No, if there was a local grave or like he could go see some place where an Irish person had a thought. Come on.
What do you mean, if? That's where my parents are buried, Jackie.
right.
So, no, I will bring him up in the summer. I'm going to work at the Deaf Puppy Comedy Club in Manteca in July.
Okay.
So, I'll bring my son up for that one. And hopefully we can go to the consulate, the Luxembourgish consulate, and get our passports renewed.
Nice.
In case we have to flee military service here in the United States.
Sure.
Yeah.
I just finished a nonfiction book recommended by one of my mystery writers in an interview. Reads Like Fiction, which made me find out that it has actually been fictionalized and turned into a TV show on MGM Plus, which made me buy MGM Plus.
What's it called?
It's called Rogue Heroes, and it's about the founding of the SAS in the British Army during World War II, written by Ben McIntyre. And it is quite the book and the show. The show does pretty good justice to it. The book reads like fiction. These people, during the beginning of world, you know, in 1939, 1940. Oh, go ahead.
Right. Oh, is it like the? Does that include the code breakers and all that kind of stuff, or is that come later?
That this is a North Africa special forces was essentially for the modern warfare was created by these complete lunatics who didn't want to be in the army but wanted to be in the army, right? So there are a bunch of British guys who are like, one guy is like, he gets all of these bad news bears, like misfits and everyone who's ever been disciplined. And he's like, he tries to teach them how to parachute. Half of them die.
Like,
like learning how to parachute during World War II, which is how it happened. So many people died because they didn't know how to do it. So they were like, well, just jump. And then when you land, roll. And they broke their necks and they felt the chutes didn't open. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of men just plummeted and fucking died. And I remember the first time because I had a little too much World War II history in the last probably 4 years since lockdown. And because I got sucked into BritBox and Acorn and like Endeavor and Foyle's War. I mean, 1,000 different ones and Bletchley Circle. And
I gotta get BritBox.
Okay. You gotta get BritBox and Acorn.
I would love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but Rogue Heroes is on MGM Plus. And as far as I can tell, it's the only thing on MGM Plus, so I don't recommend it. But why don't I just lend you the book? So
did you see I know you haven't watched this yet, Baby Reindeer?
No, but I heard somebody tell me that they watched it and it was fascinating.
It's really good. I couldn't stop watching it. I couldn't stop. I watched the whole thing. It's like six 25 to 30 minute episodes. And it's about a comic, a guy who ended up doing this show in Edinburgh, but the way he's portrayed himself in the series, he's like a really, you know, really hacky prop comic.
Okay.
Who has a stalker that he also sometimes encourages and is in a weird relationship with, and then you find the backstory of why he can't have a normal relationship, and it's, you know, a sexual assault, and it's really, really good. It reminds me of I May Destroy You, and it just makes you go, wow, that, like, the, I don't know if it's the Britain, I don't know if it's the BBC, but Britain seems to allow these comedy people to make these really, really dark short series about with the backstory that
did you ever watch
about
Game
who they are.
Now you watch more of that than I do. Have you seen Game Face?
No.
It's about it's a sort of meta comedy thing with Roisin Connolly.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be great. I want to watch it, but I haven't seen Jack.
So, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they get all these different options in the UK, whereas like you and I are still trying to work the same clubs we've been working for like 30 years. You know what I mean? Like trying to stay in or trying to stay a part of show business. And they just keep going to, I don't know. They just seem to have other avenues that are.
Yeah. I don't work on that as much as you do, though. I would like to do it. I just sadly haven't done any of the legwork to get into any sort of scripts, but I'll play your flat earther. Sure. I'll do it. It's, I'm not above
I think
it.
That's really cool. No, I just mean it's like it's it seems to be a very open sort of place in that way for comics that want to pitch other things and do them and get them made. I can't imagine either of those two shows, I May Destroy You and is that the one I'm thinking of? It's the one with Michaela Cole.
I don't know, but
okay.
Someone's
that was
shouting
also
at their iPhone right now. So
I know. Anyway,
that's I think you should leave.
Is that Tim Robinson? they both have the word "may." Oh shit! Okay, never mind. Then I know. Then I'm right. anyway, it just seems like they have a different space for stand-up comics in Britain than we do here, where it's just like keeps slugging it out and hoping some streamer pays for the hour that you spent $30,000 putting on video. You know
right, what I mean? Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't know. Oh, well. I mean.
Oh, well. I have. Wrong country.
Oh, well. Stand-up comedy. Still get to play. And yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. I am looking forward. There's some gig in Hancock Park I'm doing. A set called Whip It. And a thing called Whip It something.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think I have a set at the Improv this week. And that's it so far. Oh, except for that we're doing it tomorrow night because we're recording this on the Monday. Yeah. On the Tuesday, it'll be over, but we're doing our monthly or bi-monthly Flappers show. Mm-hmm. And it'll be really good. I want to call and make sure everybody's coming. Lisa Curry and Helen Hong, Katie Hughes and Kimberly Clark, and then you and I, correct?
Kimberly Clark just released an album, or she just recorded her album. And at the Lyric, I think.
Oh, neat.
Sounds like it went really well. There were there's a lot of buzz about it. So
oh, good.
I'm excited to see her. I wonder if she's already dumped all that material or.
God, I hope not.
I never want to tell these jokes again.
That would. I'd like to see. I'd like to see 15. That. I'd like to see 10 for that 10 of her 10 favorite and then 5 new. Should I ask her?
Yeah.
That's what I'll ask her tomorrow. Can
yes!
you do your 10 favorite from it. The special and then 5 new? She's like, well, I was going to do 10 new and 5.
15 favorite.
Yeah, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Kid.
Yeah, can I do whatever I want?
Yeah, you can. Turns out.
I'm not being paid to take your suggestion.
Right. That is also a point. Point of order. Point of order. What other, so if there was a Joan Rivers green room at Sherry, who were the other women? Is it the same two?
Marsha Warfield. I saw her name on something. And maybe Rosie O'Donnell, I think.
Okay.
I'm not really sure.
Moms,
and then
maybe?
I didn't see Moms, but I was also, you know, focusing on myself, Jackie, so I didn't go look in all the other dressing rooms.
Right, right. Yeah. I wouldn't mind, I know, you know, like when you look back on history and you know that there were women at all of the most important, like, historical moments, mm-hmm. but nobody knows their names.
Right.
That's what I think of when I see a history of stand-up comedy.
I know. Book.
I'm always like, oh, I wish I knew which, but I don't know any of the women. I don't know any of them.
I know.
So,
and neither do the guys writing about stand-up comedy.
Right. And they're doing a lot of research, but they aren't doing a lot of research looking for the women, which is a disappointment.
I know.
To me.
They have to be completely reminded. Sometimes I listen to conversations with male comics on podcasts, and when they're talking their shorthand and they're only mentioning other male comics that have influenced, it's just like, oh, when you guys really get together, it really is just about that you guys bouncing off of each other. You don't consider women comics aren't that factored into your
right. And if it's
brain
a
about
white guys,
great,
it's going to be
colleague.
Straight white guys.
Yeah.
It's just going to be, and then occasionally they might mention a great black guy.
Oh, they'll do prior just to cover their asses. Yeah.
Oh. Right?
But then,
you know, I had never heard prior. Like I haven't heard any of the old albums because I didn't grow up on it. Right. Mm-hmm. So like I've never heard most of Bill Cosby's albums. I've heard a couple of his bits. I've actually never heard a whole album. I've seen a couple of short sets of George Carlin's. I've never mm-hmm. seen Steve Martin. I don't.
Woo.
Did you ever listen to Bob Newhart's The Button Down Mind?
No.
Big fan.
I've heard some clips with the phone thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's great to listen to when you're driving. It's because I just heard this on, maybe it was on Marin, but it was written, basically they were radio bits.
Yeah.
And he performed them for the first time when he did the album.
Okay.
But they all work audibly completely. You don't need, he's not doing any act outs you need to see. You don't have to visualize hip thrusts or.
I used to have a closer that was just a straight, pure Bob Newhart style rip off of a bit where it's just that, the two back and forth. And it was crazy how well it would always work.
Oh, really? Wow.
There was some woman who did the phone. Jason Klamm, K-L-A-M-M, used to do a podcast where you would pick a favorite comedy, on comedy vinyl. Album. Mm-hmm. I wonder what the heck the name of that podcast was. I did it. Comedy on Vinyl. That was it. And I was like, I've never heard anything. He was like, well, then let me give you a selection of comics to pick from, and then I'll send you the MP3 of it, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. And one of them was a woman who was... Her album was released like 2 years before Buttoned Up.
Oh.
And she had a telephone bit like that.
Was it Rusty Warren?
I don't know. Maybe. Oh. That sounds familiar, but...
She just passed away, Rusty Warren.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. She had all like the knockers, tits up, all those titles.
Well, if you got a rack, you got to use it, unless you are self-conscious of your rack, which is what I've always said. So I do wish. Yeah, Rusty Warren. Maybe that was her. Maybe I'll look it up.
No, I'm writing down if you've got a rack, then use it, unless you're self-conscious around right or about we your rack know. Like I am as an episode quote.
It's a great episode quote, you guys. Speaking of which, I'm gonna go eat some French onion soup that I made.
Okay.
You're great.
Maximum Fun, a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.